Now this is Greggy Moore Books again. Who? I thought I'd have a little fun here. I just turned off the music. I was just having a little fun. I just finished working on one of the websites. And I started to think, if I wrote a bio about myself, what I would say. And all of a sudden I started talking like the Godfather. And in the bio I was thinking to myself, what am I supposed to say to a woman now that I'm 74 years old? Except, hi, how you doing? And what can I offer? My wife and I are estranged, amiably, and by mutual consent. And we kind of want to stay married. But she said, well, you know, go find yourself another woman. And I said, after you? And, you know, I appreciate the vows of marriage. I'm a real stickler about it, pretty particularly. So it wasn't too long ago I asked her, I said, listen, I know you want me to, I'm going to start slipping into the Godfather thing, okay? I told you I'm not sure what voice I'll be talking. So I'm kind of thinking, you know, if you have tissue in your mouth, how are you going to talk, you know? And you're going to do the Brooklyn thing or, you know, what are you going to do, you know? You know, you're going to do one of the Hollywood things maybe, you know? So she said to me, well, go find yourself another wife. And I said, you mean there's another wife? I never thought of life with another wife. I thought I was going to stay with the one I had. But she had other thoughts in it, so, you know, she kind of, she'd been rather nice about it. She said, I love you, but I can't live with you. And I thought, good thing I don't feel about myself that way, which is, I love you, but I can't live with you. What am I going to do, you know? I mean, it's just me. So, but I started thinking, I asked her not too long ago, I said, listen, I can appreciate our arrangement. I'm not doing this Godfather thing very well, but I'm not sure. I'll slip in and out of it, kind of, we'll see. Sort of like an old pair of underwear, you know. And so, I remember you. I mean, there's a lot of indicators that we've known each other a while. They're all ripped and torn. And wasn't he an actor? Yeah, he was in, wasn't he in, yeah, in that movie. Anyway, I asked her, I said, you know, find another wife, that's an interesting thing to do, but, you know, what can I offer? I mean, I'm married, you know, I can mess around a little bit, I suppose, and I can dance and go to dinner, and I know I don't have any money, so if she'll take me to dinner, that'd be nice, and like for the rest of my life, which she could shorten if she didn't want to pay for dinner anymore. So I don't want to create a temptation, you know, sort of like I'm so expensive to be with that it's cheaper to just drop me off a bridge somewhere. Well, you know, I mean, well, anyway. So I thought, what can I offer a woman? And I got a moderate case of ED, you know, which means that, you know, I can fiddle around a little bit and so on and so on. But I wouldn't say, I would say that, you know, according to the old cliche, I'm a mere shadow of my former self. Well, to say the least, yeah. But, you know, I can still feel things and stuff, pretty much like I used to. And that's nice, you know. So you find a woman that's close to my age and then, you know, what condition is she in? You know, is she going to be up for some gymnastics sex? Well, if she's a MILF or whatever they call them these days, and she wants a younger man and all that, you know, if she's 76, she might think, I'm a real treasure at 75, you know, well, 74. But, you know, chances are I would probably appeal to some woman who's maybe in her 50s or 60s. You know, finished having kids and finished raising everybody, including the neighborhood. And is just looking to settle down to cuddle and just mess around a little bit and take some of my new tantra procedures and say, you know, that sounds like a really neat idea. So, yeah, well, you know, got nothing to do on a Saturday afternoon or nothing to do for the rest of your life. Might want to have a little fun with that. But, Andy, did you know that? Do you know what tantra is? It's actually weaving. It means weaving. I haven't studied it really in depth, but, you know, superficially I'm doing great. And, by the way, remember I was talking about sex and squeaking on the porn sites? I listened to my recordings the other day and they all squeak. And you know why? Listen. It's my chair. I guarantee you that at the moment, Godfather or otherwise, I'm not with anybody squeaking because, first of all, I'm still nice and fluffy, you know. I like fluffy women, so I don't think under the best of circumstances we're going to squeak. We might creak and crackle. That's a possibility. You know, and say, what'd you do last night? Well, my girlfriend and I kind of sat around and we didn't squeak. We sort of crackled and crunched and stuff, you know, made fun of each other. You're like, yeah, look, you old bag. That's her talking to me, needless to say. But I was thinking, what can I offer a woman when I'm 74 years old? Been around the block a few times. Got lost many times. But I'm back. And then if I'm going to forget about this Godfather thing, I don't feel like talking like this, you know. I got too much to say, so I think we'll abandon that. So I'm pretty much my natural self, you know, suave and debonair. But anyway, what could I offer a woman who's still interested in a little dallying in the valley and, you know, doesn't mind a guy who's a mere shadow of his former self, but I like pretending. It's a, hey, listen, pretend that I am driving you out of your mind. And she'll say, but you are. And I'd say, I know. I talk too much. She'd say, well, yeah. And I'd say, well, I don't understand why anybody would hang around with me that didn't want to talk or didn't want to hear me talk. Now, that does narrow things down. It's sort of like you can imagine a woman talking to, say, her son, who's probably, you know, in his 40s, and said, listen, I'm thinking about hanging around with a guy. And I said, oh, Mom, I think that's a great idea. What are you guys going to do in your spare time? Never mind. I said, she would say, you don't want to know? I say, no, it's none of my business. And say, well, okay. But whatever I'm going to do with whomever I find, I intend to enjoy it. Well, good, Mom. I guess you should do that. And I might get wild and crazy, you know, Humpty Dumpty, you know, ride the bull. Mom, I'm not interested in stuff like that. You weren't? At your age, you should still be very interested. No. I mean, you're not interested in me? No. You see how they can really twist things around? Well, actually, I can twist things around. That's what I'm doing, I think. But anyway, I'm trying to get back to the subject. I can dance. I've got a condition called Morton's toe. Now, Morton's toe, if your second toe is longer than your big toe, then chances are you run a high risk of getting what's called Morton's toe. Now, it compensates somehow, and it creates something called it's kind of like a thickening in the middle of your foot. And that throws your foot off. It's called a callus. It's not spelled like a callus. I think it's C-A-L-U-S-T-V-L-M-N, something like that. But I know that what it does is it turns your feet in. Not pigeon toe, but tilt. And my daughter was following me the other day in the market, and she took a picture of my feet and my ugly old shoes, and I couldn't believe how bad I looked. So I thought, listen, if I'm going to interest a woman, don't walk away from her. That'll absolutely guarantee she'll never call my name again. You know, yo, Greggy. I'm sorry, I thought you were someone else. But anyway, Greggy, I wished you were somebody else. But anyway, I'm a conversationalist, which you might gather. As long as it's one-sided, then I'm winning the argument. Which is not necessarily true. Mostly, yes, but, you know. I'm not bad-looking, you know, so if I'm standing next to her or something like that, people are not going to say, why'd you bring your dumpster with you? Or, what's that thing next to you? I say, well, that happens to be my boyfriend. And they say, well, what the hell happened to him? Did he get hit by a bus on the way over or something? Look at him. He's atrocious looking. He's got, what is he? He's almost 6'1". He weighs about, what, 215, 218? And he's white as the driven snow with a slight tan. And he's male. That's one of the reasons for using the word he, I think. Or did you just drop the S for the hell of it? Well, okay. I'm not that bad to look at. You know, if you're not trying to study me, if you say, I don't think when I walk down the street anybody's thinking, I think I'll watch him. Why? Well, because he's fascinating. You know, well, what's fascinating about him? Well, he's different. Well, that's not fascinating. That's different. What do you mean by different? Well, he doesn't walk like everybody else I know. He kind of shuffles and kind of wobbles side to side. Probably got Morton's toe. You know, that'll do it. So whatever we do, don't follow him. You know, if he's coming towards you, just give him a wide berth. I think he was a wide berth. But anyway, because he needs a lot of room. He kind of shuffles from, and then he kind of, you know, goes from one side to the other, kind of like a leaky boat, you know, has water in it, trying to catch up with himself. But then I thought, you know, I know a lot of things, and women find that attractive to a certain point. Like, is there anything you don't know? This is my present wife, which is, why are you always right? I said, because left is not popular. No, never mind. We're coming up on an election, I think. I don't pay much attention to it anymore. The mayor of Westchester was in my apartment. She was recruiting, and she wanted me to vote for her and the current governor. So we started chit-chatting. She had her bodyguard with her, her treasurer. It was like this eight-foot-high woman, which wasn't bad. Actually, I kind of liked the mayor. I liked her personally. I thought she was neat. So I think she won whatever election she was in. I think she's out in Harrisburg or doing something. But a very interesting woman, very interesting woman, yeah. And then one of her recruiters came by. I liked her, too. So I kind of like who she hangs around with and stuff like that. But anyway, she asked me when she left. She said, who's going to win the election? I said, Trump. She just looked at me because that's the other party. And guess what? I was right. But I think she wanted me to vote for Clinton. I don't remember if I voted for the man side of that, which I'm not sure which one's the man and which one's the woman. But don't ask me that. Then I don't have to quit myself, and then Bill or Hillary won't give me a call and say, you know, and I go, yeah, I know, I'm sorry, I apologize. I meant every word of it, but I apologize. It's much easier that way to concede. They call it conceding. Like, for instance, you see how gracefully Clinton conceded? I mean, they're doing nothing but haunt this guy, haunting the president. I mean, just badgering him to death. But it doesn't seem to bother him, which kind of amuses me. Because the Democrats, you talk about some bad losers. I mean, boy, they couldn't believe, they still can't believe that they lost to Trump. Well, the people speaketh, or spoketh, or whatever they, utheth. And I voted for Trump. Why? Because I thought we should have a businessman. Now, I voted, I was an independent. And I ended up becoming a Democrat because I wanted to vote in the primaries for Barack Obama. I thought it was time to have a black man in the office. And it was kind of interesting because either one won at that particular point, I would have been pleased because I think we need a woman president too. Now, I don't think we ought to have them at the same time. And because, you know, with the shenanigans that go on in the Oval Office, you know, you can get a real crowd in there if you're a little confusion over sexual identity and so on. I mean, you can end up with a real Donnybrook going on in there. You know, I was talking to Donnie the other day, and actually he's not Irish. I don't think he's Scottish either. He could be the black Irish because he's from North Philly. You know, Donnybrook. That's not a name of a typical black man. You know, we were playing chutes and ladders the other day. I was playing with my daughter and my granddaughter, and the one of the characters was black, and I said, I want to be that guy. And my granddaughter said, the black boy? I said, yeah, I'm going to be the black guy. And she said, well, what's your name? And I said, my name's Leroy. Now, when I was in the service, that was always an insult. All the Leroys were called Leroy. R-O-I, I think it was. And I truly, I said it the other day, but I had a lot of black friends. One of them was a guy, I can't really name him, but he had a name of one of our presidents from way back. And he was very politically oriented, and he used to come in my room and we'd sit around and shoot the shit. And one day he said, I think he was getting out, and he said, you know what? I said, what? Everybody called me T. So, you know what, T? What? I said, I'm going to get out and get myself a job. I said, what kind of job? Now, this is the God's truth. You know, he said, I want to be a token black man. I said, you want to be a token black man? He goes, yeah. I said, I want a desk, and I want a chair, and I want a phone. And I don't care if the phone's plugged in the wall or not. This is the God's truth. And I said, why do you want to do that? He said, because it's easier to do that than to try and be a real black man. You know, I'm going to want to raise a family and educate my kids and stuff. And I don't want to be fighting in the streets and discriminated against in the true sense of the word. And have people messing with my car or keying my car and stuff. I said, you want to be a token black man? He goes, yeah. And I said, well, I suppose good luck. And to my knowledge, the black man down the hall who now owns the company, because he's probably smart enough to do it, started out as a token black man. Well, he isn't now, I'll bet your ass. I'll bet he isn't now. Because he was too smart. Because when he came up with that idea, I got another black man story for you. You might like this one. I don't see color, but then again, I do. And I'm more sympathetic about it and understanding about it. I don't think it's easy being a black man. I just don't think so. And I think that what we did to the black soldiers after the war is a crime. It truly is a crime. I wrote some books on it, not on the black cause necessarily. I did when I was in college. I wrote something called Semantics in the Black Cause. And it got some note. And they asked me if I was going to, what was I going to write next? And I said, well, first of all, I'm getting out of college. I'm going to graduate in December of 71. I'm going to be out of here and gone. And my playwright instructor said, he's a rather popular playwright right now, Mark Berman. This is a name. Now I'm very pleased to say his name. Because he tore me up. I wrote a play in his class, and then when we all got together, and he said, "Greg, I want you to know that's the worst play I've ever heard, I've ever seen." And I said, "Well, Mark, I certainly appreciate that, you know." He told me all the things that I'm supposed to write. So I went home, and I lived on Gill Street in a dormer room upstairs upon my GI Bill. And I wrote a play, and damn if it wasn't put on, it was produced. And I thought, well, that's pretty interesting. But anyway, I started to think, you know, what I was going to do when I got out of college, stuff like that. Well, let me tell you about my black friend. We worked in the same warehouse together. And he came to me one day. He was a singer, or he was aspiring to be a singer. And he came to me and he said, listen, we friends? I said, yeah, sure. He said, I need to borrow money. I said, well, you certainly came to the wrong guy. He said, do you have any? I said, well, I might. What do you want to do with it? He said, I want to go to England and record a demo record. And I have an opportunity to do it. I said, really? And he goes, yeah, it might be my only chance. And I said, well, how much money do you need? He said, well, about $300. And I said, well, that's funny because that's all I have, about $300. He said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you the slip from my car. I don't know what, but can I borrow it? Well, if you ask anybody in my family, I'm sort of a generous person. I have a tendency to give away everything. And I don't mind, to tell you the truth. I like being at the head of the table only so I can buy the whole table of food. I like to see people eating and drinking. I even participate myself. I said, yeah, okay, I'll lend it to you. He said, well, I'll get the slip for my car. I said, I don't want the slip for your car. He goes, you don't? I said, no. So what do you want? I said, I want a handshake. I said, I'm the kind of deal with a handshake. And I said, if you say you're going to pay me back, then you're going to pay me back. You want a shake on it? So I shook his hand. And he said, yeah, I'll get it back to you as soon as I can. I said, okay. Well, he went to England and he recorded Lay Lady Lay by Bob Dylan. He came back. Well, he didn't want to go AWOL. that's a penitentiary thing. And he showed up at my door and he handed me $300 and he handed me a record, a copy of the record, Lay Lady Lay. I said, well, thank you. I put the money back because I bought my stereo equipment, shipped that out because I was going to leave. That was 69, I guess, 68, 69, because I was going to leave. I left in August or September of 69. I left Europe and went to Michigan. But anyway, I put the record away and I put the money away. And it wasn't long after that, maybe a couple of weeks, there was a knock on my door. And I opened it up, and there were the biggest black men I've ever seen in my life. And I kind of looked up at these mountainous men, and I didn't recognize them, but obviously they knew me. They said, "You Greg Taylor?" I said, "No." I said, "That's the guy that I get confused with at the NCO club. I'm Greggy Moorbooks." I said, "We look very much alike. I said, we have a family feud, actually, but anyway." They said, are you Greg? I said, yeah. Said, you know a guy named blah, blah, blah? And I said, yeah. Said, you lent him money? I said, yeah. Said, and he paid you back? I said, yeah. Said, he owes us money. And I said, well, that doesn't surprise me. But what, are you here to collect what I got back? They said, no, no, no. We wanted to see what a white man looked like that lent him money, and he snuck back on base and paid you back before he paid us back. And we were just kind of curious what would he look like, a guy who would do that, particularly knowing our friend. And I said, well, here I am. And they said, okay, we're just curious. I said, Joe, all right? They said, yeah, he's all right. He's okay. And I said, did you hear about the record? He goes, they said, yeah, we heard about the record. I said, gee, maybe he's going to be a real star someday. Well, we doubt it, but that's okay. I said, all right, well, we'll see you. I said, okay, thanks for stopping by. And they left. I never saw them again. I never saw them at the club. They were underground people. And that's an interesting story, isn't it? And so I left the service. You know, I was released, and I was home. I was in Pennsylvania. And damn, out of nowhere, I get a phone call from the guy I went to England. And he says to me, do you have a copy of that? You still have your copy of that record? I said, yeah. He said, well, I lost mine. Can you send it to me? I'll send it back to you. I said, okay. I sent it to him. I never got it back again. I don't have a copy of it. Never saw him. Never heard from him again. And it wouldn't surprise me if something unfortunate happened to him. But I kind of liked that record. I kind of would. And he sang it. I had a copy. And if he was going to be famous, I thought, gee, you know, this is my $300 investment. So I called my friend Greg Taylor, and I said, I told him the story. He goes, why are you telling me the story? I said, I'm telling you the story because I thought you'd be interested. He said, it was my goddamn story. And I went, yeah, but don't tell anybody, all right? Then what are you doing, riding my trail? I said, yeah. I said, oh, okay. You going to be famous? I said, no. I said, you don't think you're good enough to be, you know, on stage or something? I said, first of all, I'm not interested in it. I said, second of all, I get the jitters. And third of all, why would I want to do that? My daughter's talking to me about putting stuff on YouTube. I like that idea. And now it's on the websites, you know, my websites. And so I think that's cool. So what I'm talking right now is going to be on there. That'll be number four. No, yeah, I got three. This is four. So I'm thinking to myself now, after all that, you know, and still trying to play pool with a rope. You got to remember one show after another, you know. So I'm trying to think of what I'm going to offer a woman. Now, it appears that in the past, whatever I offered was reasonable, I guess, because it was reasonably accepted. Went with one girl from Penn State for 3 years. She graduated before I did. Same year, but before I did. And we hung around. She went to Europe. And she came back a European, sophisticated lady, which was too much for me. She had a mink coat and all that kind of stuff, and I kind of wasn't too happy about that. And I said, did you kill it? Is it still alive? Anyway, she decided that I wasn't sophisticated or whatever. But I found out she passed away. There was no mention of children or husband or something. I felt very bad because I would have married her. I think maybe another year I probably would have. But anyway, I thought, well, I'm educated. That might be nice. You'll notice there's not much funny about what I'm talking about. And I realized after listening to all three of the other ones, I asked my daughter, I said, am I funny or amusing? She said, you're amusing. She said, a few things you said I laughed out loud, because she was sitting here listening to them. And, but you're a storyteller. More so than an amusing person. You're a storyteller. You tell stories. And she said, but you should be called the Rambler. You should be called Greggy Moore Books the Rambler. And I already told you in the other one. I said, what, a Nash? And how do you spell that? But anyway, so she is encouraging me to look for a lady fair. And I believe it or not, I'm not interested. I got married when I was 31. I'm still married. I'm 74. It's about 40 some years. And I can't say it was all joy and pleasure, but basically it was a very good marriage. It still is in a way. I don't really have any problem with it. And I'm kind of pleased with my attitude toward being married. I mean, if you're going, I never cheated on her, and it's the absolute truth. I don't lie about things like that. I lie about presents at Christmas. Hey, Papa, did you get me a present? No. You gonna give me a present? No. You gonna get me a no? Why? Because I think you're funny looking. And then they laugh, and I buy them a present anyway. So. And they are funny looking, too. I think, where the hell these guys came from? No, not really. The pretty ones take after me. The other ones, well, I don't want to disparage anybody in the family, mind you. But anyway, so I thought, well, I like to dance. I really do. Now, I used to really hoof it. You know, I kind of liked it. My favorite dance was the pony way back in the 70s. Was that 60s? I forget. And one of the girls from my high school actually was going with one of my fraternity brothers. And I was dancing. And she said, I didn't know you could dance like that. I said, never ask. And well, I wasn't going to ask you to dance. I said, why not? She said, because you're funny looking. I said, no, it's the other side of the family. I'm on the pretty side. You know, you have the egg once over lightly and, you know, it's sunny side up. I'm a sunny side up egg. You know, the rest of the family, you know, you got to flip them over, you know. They're not done yet. But I'm gooey. Because gooey, you know, that's one of the reasons people don't like sunny side up eggs. You know, they're gooey. And I say, well, that's what the bread's for. See, you don't flip it in the pan. You flip it on the bread. Now you don't know it's gooey anymore. Does that make any sense? And I used to order, and say, Dad, what are you going to order for supper or for breakfast? I said, two eggs over medium, double order sausage, white toast. No home fries. No. No home fries, no toast. Coffee sickeningly sweet with cream. I added that. I really didn't say that. Let's see. Two eggs over medium, double order sausage. Let's try that again. Two eggs over medium, double order sausage, hold a toast. Yeah, something like that. But now I don't eat that much. And I don't even eat eggs anymore. I used to eat four eggs a day. I think I found out that the average Japanese person eats a lot of eggs. The Japanese eat a lot of eggs. And they named the average that the Japanese eat eggs. And I think I ate four times that. And people say, your cholesterol must be through the roof. Nope. Normal. And I think that's because I ate so many eggs, my body wouldn't dare collect cholesterol, whatever it was. You're going to pee that shit out. Or do you poop it out? Or do you bleed it out? Maybe you spit it out. I don't know. Maybe you just sweat it out. Anyway. So I thought, I'd love to go to restaurants. You know, I'm a big restaurant fan, particularly when I'm not paying for it. I used to get, like, the alley-oop version of roast beef, you know, prime rib. Alley-oop. You know, the biggest thing you could do, if you could carry it, I was interested. And Now I don't even have the queen's cut. I have even smaller. And because I got diabetes, I keep a very detailed record and stuff like that here on Excel. And I watch my numbers. So I, because of being a diabetic, I've got to pay attention to that. So being a diabetic, you don't have much to offer either, you know, and that brings on the ED, and of course the fact that I jumped off a truck, that didn't help. I jumped off a truck, and I think I hurt my pedental nerves. They're the nerves that go from your hips to your toes. And I don't mean the ones in the garage. And you know, girls and boys both have pedental nerves like that. Our hips are very much alike. Only the plumbing's different. You know, the piriformis muscles are the same. Pedental nerves are the same. The same reason for being. The piriformis muscles, they're called rotators. That's so that you can rotate your leg back and forth and you can cross your legs. That's because of the piriformis. So I hurt them too. And so I can't offer a whole lot of dancing, but some dancing. And the pony's kind of out. And riding the bull, well, that's for her. Except ain't much bull to ride. But anyway. I don't know why I think that's funny. What a tragedy. But anyway. And like I say, I'm educated. Now I'll do a lot of things. I mean, I came from a family of polo players, so I played polo, you know, got on a horse and chased a white ball instead of going to a golf course and trying to smack one. I used a mallet and a horse, and I was a pretty good horseman. I was a lousy polo player, but, you know, one of the reasons I was a lousy polo player, that guy that I know, he wrote a book called Polo, and I might want to read that. It's kind of cool. But anyway, and I was a skier. I skied the Alps when I was stationed in Germany. I was a member of the Wiesbaden American Ski Club and went skiing. I was a strong intermediate skier. I was a lot better when I was drunk. Over in Germany, they have something called Wadeling. Wadeling is how to go down a real narrow path. Because you can't just shush it or boom it, which is go roaring down there. You'd be 80 miles an hour by the time you got to the bottom. So what you do is you wiggle. And you take your poles and you wiggle them on side to side. You drop them on the ground and it's snow. And it slows you down. Wadeling, that was kind of cool. And I skied at a place called St. Johann and Kitzbühel and Innsbruck. No. And a place called Fieberbrunn. If you ever get a chance, I don't know, it was 50 years ago, but if you get a chance to go to Fieberbrunn, Fieberbrunn is just a wonderful little town in Tyrol. And I went there 2 years in a row and had a great time. Well, and of course, I love the Germans and the Austrians. They're just wonderful people. They just like to have fun, you know. They're very neighborly. They're very family oriented, but they're very social in a very pleasant way. Like they have things over there called Weinstuben. Yeah, watch your mouth, buddy. Well, anyway, and they didn't, you know, you can go to a Gasthaus and they had tables and chairs like most places if you want to go have a couple of beers or something. And but for the most part, they sat in park benches. So you sat next to a whole bunch of people, and you sat across from a whole bunch of people. And usually there were people you didn't know. And that was terrific, because you always started talking, and you started trading beer, and you started trying to sell your children, and, you know, trying to buy the other guy's wife. And it was a lot of fun, you know, there was a lot of negotiations going on. And they had something called Fasching, and they had a Sadie Hawkins part of it. And man, let me tell you, some of those frows, you know, with the big front porches, boy, they'd come over, pull you out of your chair and smash in between those two mamas. And if they didn't let you up for air, You died in those loving arms while you're dancing away. And they were wonderful. And particularly the older Frau's wife, Sadie Hawkins, they really loved it. Sadie Hawkins is when the woman asks the man to dance. And then, of course, she cuts off his exit if he doesn't dance with her. And a lot of times, I didn't find this out firsthand. I knew it. First of all, I'm a rather polite guy. But if a woman asks, and Sadie Hawkins asked you to dance and you didn't, you got to explain that to her husband. Well, why don't you want to dance with my wife? My balls hurt. Oh, you know, okay. You had to have a damn good excuse because they would see that as an insult. Well, anyway, I really enjoyed the German girls. They were very, very standoffish, though. It was very interesting. They weren't like Swedish girls. I actually went with a Danish girl for a while. I don't remember exactly because I had too much to drink that day, but I think she threw me off a balcony. No, she didn't. I was climbing up the side of the building because she wouldn't let me in the front door. And I think she knocked me off, and I ended up on the ground, and I got on my 10-speed rolly racer, and I went back toward the base, and I, you know, those little water things, you know, see, you reach down, you can, that has a straw so that you can race your bike. And I had those full of Rhine wine, and I'll tell you, Rhine wines in 66 were fantastic, so I had some of the best wine that Germans ever had, and I had a little bit too much, went through an intersection, tried to climb the curb, and I ended up rolling through the intersection, bike and all. But nobody, I didn't get run over or anything. I got back on, and nobody saw me, so I didn't have to be totally humiliated, and rode back to the base. But then, when I left, there was a guy named Mr. Kehl there. K-E-H-L. He was sort of Russian. But after the war, he started working for the American government in the warehouse, and he stayed there. He was there forever. And when I got there, he had a little mustache like Hitler, but he wasn't anything like Hitler. He's a very gentle, very nice man. And he kind of cleaned up in the department. And we were sort of friends, kind of. I'd buy cigarettes like I wasn't supposed to and give it to him, and I'd buy wine for him, which I wasn't supposed to do, but I did it anyway. I saw it as international, diplomacy. Some sort. I really liked him. I was really soft-hearted toward him. And I came back to the base. I bought this Rolly Racer for about $80. Yellow. Bright yellow. And I rode it downtown a couple of times. But I kept it in the warehouse. And I came back in my truck. And I didn't make a big point of it, but I parked it. I didn't park it right on the loading bays. I parked somewhere else. And I walked in for no other reason, just to walk in. I noticed he was cleaning the bike. He had a little rag and he was cleaning it. And I stepped back into the shadows. And I thought to myself, oh, Mr. Kehl. I don't even think he had a bike. And I was about a month away from leaving, rotating out of Germany. And I was packing up stuff. I packed up my stereo equipment because I worked in a warehouse. Shipped those home. Matter of fact, my speakers in the living room right here now are the ones that I bought in 69, and shipped back to the States. I still have 2 JB Lansings. Great speakers. S77s, I think they're called. A passive radiator. Oh, these things are unbelievable. And so it came time to leave. And I didn't pack the bike. You know what I did with it, right? He was kind of hovering around the office because he was staying, and I was leaving. I was saying goodbye to everybody. And I I went to Mr. Cal and I looked at him and he looked at me. I said, Mr. Cal, I said, I want you to have my bike. You should have seen the look on his face. It was worth winning the war. Believe me, the depth of emotions, just the incredulity. He didn't even say anything. So I put my hand out, I shook his hand, and I technically gave him the keys to the bike. And I turned around and I left. That was it. Went back to the base, you know, back to the barracks, and I left. And all I could picture was Mr. Kell in his black coat and his black hat and his little mustache ripping through the main gate. Yo! right past one of the German, the Germans were guarding our gates, which was almost amusing. But anyway, like, well, you're in good hands. They're all former Nazis, but hey, time to overlook differences. So, matter of fact, one of my friends was a former German tank commander. He was captured in Italy and ended up in Canada. And when they repatriated, he was local. I'll tell you this one. This isn't a funny story, but not far from fun. I knew him well enough. We were sitting around in his office, and I said to him, I said, I'm going to ask you a question. I hope our friendship is solid. He goes, I know what you're going to ask me. I said, well, I'm going to ask you anyway. I said, did you know? And he said to me, he looked me right in the eye, he said, you'd be surprised what you don't know when your family's at risk. And I said, yeah, I understand. And that was my answer. That was the answer I was given by a man who was there. And that was enough of an answer for me. Because what would I have done in this situation? Would I know? Chances are I wouldn't have known either. Not if my family was at risk. Huh. So anyway, I can see Mr. Kell, you know, 80 miles an hour ripping through the front gate. Because if he went fast enough and he didn't stop, he'd go plow right into the Nimbus Club. So, Mr. Kell, wherever you are and your Raleigh racer, God bless you. You were an enchanting friend, and you were a wonderful man for all intents and purposes. I mean, just I had to give him the bike. I had to give him the bike. So there were quiet moments. I mean, my basic nature like that, I could give that to a woman. I dedicated myself to all my women. Always did. I was always a gentleman. Wasn't always fair. Was nasty at times. But I always thought of them. I didn't have a lot of girlfriends. Matter of fact, in high school, I had a lot of girlfriends, but they're all going with somebody else. I get one of these, hey, Greggy, what? Can you talk to Kenny? Because Kenny won't talk to me. Or why don't you talk to him? Well, because I can't talk to him, but you can. You're on a swimming team with him. That's the reason I'm supposed to talk to him. Well, yeah, you talk to him. And I got this from lots of girls. You know, hey, Greggy, let me tell you what my situation is. Whoa. That's quite a situation. What am I supposed to do about it? Go tell him that I love him. What if I get confused? What do you mean confused? What if I tell him I love him? Greggy. And then there was this girl sat next to me. She liked calling me Greggy. A lot of people wanted to call me something else. You know, they wanted to, like that guy Taylor, they wanted to call me Greg or Gregory. I asked my mother, I said, why'd you name me Gregory? And she said, I got a date with a guy who went to Yale. He took me to Yale to a baseball game. And there was a ball player there named Gregory something. And that's when I decided to name you when I got married later. And believe it or not, I can't remember the last name, but I looked him up. He was a player at Yale, and he's a pretty good one too. And then people started to find me cute. When I was at Penn State, I was a card man at a bar. You know, it was kind of a de facto bouncer type. Because I came out of the service and they thought we all knew ways to kill people. And I said, I'm in a college town. I don't want to kill anybody. You know, I want them to buy me drinks. But anyway, but they used to call me Teddy Bear. Because I weighed about 240 then. I wore a vest. A little mustache. Didn't look like Hitler's though. It kind of rambled around. See the Rambo thing again. So I could offer the kind of things that I'm describing to you. And you know, the more I think about my daughter saying that I'm a storyteller, and I have all these books I write under a pseudonym, I'm going to have to confess. My pseudonym is Greg Taylor. All the books that he wrote, I wrote. And I used the pseudonym Gregory Taylor. And so that's why there's a little bit of confusion here now and then. But now you know my true identity. It's Greggy Moore Books. But I write under the name Greg Taylor. So if that confuses you, it's supposed to. But anyway, you're not supposed to... Like if you do ghostwriting, I do some ghostwriting. You're not supposed to tell anybody who you are. Then the guy who I write the book for, he's not supposed to. He doesn't want to say who I am, because he's passing himself off as the author. And who might argue at $4 a word? Anyway, I that's only recent. I've gone up in the world. I started out at 1, and went to 2, and went to 3, 4. And if you go to the websites, I still use all 1 through 4, depending on the complexity and the size and so forth and so on. Size does matter. It does to me, anyway. I mean, you want 100,000 words, I get $400,000 for it. Dream on, Greggy. That's both Gregs. To date, no $4 ones. But... You know, I'm still hoping, you know, when. Now, the other, I like to do things for people, so I would imagine that if a girl wanted something from me, I'd probably be able to provide it pretty much. I think attention is number one. I've always admired women. I love women. And I truly, really do. And, you know, my wife used to laugh because we were contractors on the road for a while. And I'd come home and tell her about all my girlfriends. And she'd say, what'd you talk about? So we talked about diapers. You mean your girlfriends are pregnant? Well, some are pregnant, some are in their 60s. Some shouldn't even be at work. All colors, sizes, shapes. They come to me and say, Greg, what do you think of this? Well, I think if I were in your position, I'd do this or I'd do that. And then they'd come up later in the week and say, you know, I tried that. I was part of the coffee clatch. And I worked for a place called Bell Atlantic Business Systems for a while. And I worked in their database area, customer service. It was huge. It was this huge, huge room full of women. And they were all data input, you know, clickety, 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 all day long. Then it would stop and then eat lunch. The whole world stopped. So I was the only man. So the lead woman said to me, look, you don't have to prepare the food like we do. We take turns and we go all the way. I said, I'll bring the donuts. She said, sold. So I brought the donuts, which I did to every office. I always brought the donuts. So I tried to eat them all too, but you know, they'd get to it before I'd come in with the box, put the box down, reach in and thanks, Greggy. You have no problem. You didn't even leave me one. So I used to eat one in the car before I brought them in. And they caught me. And they stood around the car and threatened me. And they had billy clubs and stuff. And So I put the donut back. That's not a true story exactly. They didn't have billy clubs. So anyway, what else could I offer? I think I like to let people know that they're people. That they're not here to serve me necessarily. Like if they're pumping gas like they used to, yeah, well. They used to check the oil back then and cheat. They ended up with a crankcase full of twice as much oil as you needed. And they cleaned the windshield with a dirty rag and then you put the wipers on. And but it was okay. I used to be able to drive around all day on a dollar's worth of gas. Maybe a buck's worth. Okay. I could also offer maturity. Yes. I'm a mature adult male, more or less. Of course, the cornerstone's still there, but it's got a few cracks and crevices and a little dusty here and there and needs a little paint. Some woodwork. But by and large, I strike a reasonable posture, as they say. If you ask me a question, I usually have an answer. Might not be mine, but did you ever read the autobiography of Benjamin Franklin? I learned so much from that. I think that's one of the key books that I've ever read. A very interesting guy. And I use a lot of the devices that he suggested in there when I was in business. And I guess I'm still in business in a way. And I can offer age, which is, you know, if a 21-year-old co-ed decides that she wants to hang out with me for a couple months, I can offer age. You know, did you know that there are women who like to hang around with older men? And I looked it up to figure out why. First of all, we are not sexually tuned the way their contemporary males are, which is to drag them into the bushes or whatever and make hours and hours of pointless love. Also, we're more understanding. We're gentler. We have more money. And young women like that. Now, they don't want to marry us or anything. Why would they? That'd be silly. You could accuse them of a bad judgment. But you know, it's funny. I like to go to lunch and dinner and stuff with my daughter. But I get glances every once in a while like, hey, that's your girlfriend? So you have to slam your hand down the table and say, it's my daughter, fool. I'm not her sugar daddy. I'm her Greggy. I'm her grandfather. Oh boy, you don't look all that old. And say, well, you're not in this body. You imagine what it feels like being in here. Well, I think I've talked up a real storm. I probably talked most of an hour, I guess. All about the decision I'm trying to make when it comes to women. My chair squeaking? No, it's creaking. More appropriate. Well, this particular session, I think it confirms more that I'm a storyteller than somebody who's amusing. So I'm trying to decide what to do with it. At times I get whimsical and I think of all these funny stories that aren't real. I just tell them. And I just counted. I have a list of all my books and stuff like that. I just took a tally. And in the books that are available, there's 4.5 million words, which at 250 words a page, translates into 18,000 pages. That's what's on the website. as free reads with my daughter. But that's so many books. And then when I started to clean a few things up, it actually jumped to over 5 million. So, you know, it's very interesting. And because the company's name, Duo Publication Documentation, that's my company. DuoSpecialties.com. And then that goes to where my books are. All my covers are all by my covers. I do all my covers too. Goes to EnterpriseNovels.com. And it goes to my daughter's my recent partner. And it goes to ClassicalDoorway.com. That's where her books are. So, and I have little boxes I put on the websites and stuff like that. Like if you want to hear Greggy more books, stories, click here, and then it goes to WSXYZ.com. And then my big four will be on there, and I'll build on top of it. And then I wrote a couple of sexy books, which, well, they're not sexy according to my daughter, but then I think they're very racy and, you know, wow, boy, am I out on a limb. Except I'm smart enough to saw it off before somebody else does. It's sort of like, why are you on the ground? Well, I sawed off my own branch. Why'd you do that? Well, I didn't want someone to be guilty for breaking my back. Well, that's poor reasoning as well. Well, anyway, I have to go have more dinner. My dinner is anywhere from 4 to 8, and it's now 2 minutes after 7. So I have to go. I made myself a great combination. It's called Dad's macaroni chicken slop, which I made as a slop, and it ended up like a cold salad, and then it ended up slop. But everybody likes it. It's got chicken, and it has Liam Perrins in it, and it has some garlic salt, and has lots of noodles, elbow macaroni, and a pile of chicken from the cans. And it's very tasty. I was a little surprised. And I made 4 pounds. It was called clean out the cupboard. So I took the box of elbow macaroni and I just turned it upside down in the water. That's how many noodles I used. And then I took a 15-ounce can and a 5-ounce can, I think, and I threw that in there. And then I put in a can of cream of mushroom soup from Campbell's. And I put in a Swanson's Chicken a la King. Do you ever have Swanson's Chicken a la King? You know, that's really good, but nobody knows about it. When I went to military school when I was a kid, and they had Chicken a la King there. I really liked it. So when I saw I could buy it, I bought it. Now, it was higher in carbs, and they did something to it and got it down to, like, a whole can for, like, 20 grams. So I put that on a couple of pieces of toast, 12 grams each, and 24 grams carbohydrates, and I'm home free. I also made another dish. It's called Frankie's Spinach and Butter. Doesn't that sound cool? That's because I have a ballpark Frank, bun size. I cut it up, and I put it in one of those little heater, you know, cups that you put in the microwave. That's half a cup of Del Monte spinach, leaf type, and a pat of butter. And I throw that in the microwave for 1 minute, and that's called Frankie Spinach and Butter. And I decided I like cooking this stuff, so I'm going to cook more recipes, and I'm gonna make a cookbook. I don't even know what I'll call it. Greggy More Books, More Food. Greggy More Foods. Well, anyway, and I've already taken a bunch of stuff I've made, and I put it into a book, but I haven't published it. Which I publish it myself, obviously, because I have a publishing company. So, thank you for listening, and I don't know what this one's going to be. This is kind of a turning point. I'm going to have my daughter listen to this, if she has the patience, and then tell me, you know, she already knows about the other three. Well, what she doesn't know about the yachts in Monaco, but the dirty old man one, I think she heard that one. And then I did one 1 o'clock in the morning the other day. And I think I have some coffee here. I think I have a whole lot of it. Yeah, I do. I never drank it. Okay, well, I'm gonna punch out now. I'm gonna lift this off the screw I put in the wall. It's actually in my headboard. By the way, you'll know where I live if you go to duospecialties.com. You'll see pictures of us and stuff, and all these books and everything. And then there's a box that you can click on. It says, "See our office." Well, you'll see pictures of the office here. And you'll see something called a green headboard. And that's where I hang this thing, and I sit in my recliner, which also is my bed. And you'll see more about me if you're interested. So, okay. And listen, you're going to be able to, one of these recordings is going to have the email. My daughter's going to answer them. She's my partner, Lynn. And then she'll get the message to me, and then I'll get the message back to you, assuming that anybody sends me an email. So thank you very much for sharing your time with me here. And this is Greggy Moorbrooks. Love and kisses. Bye.